Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Lenten Rouge Cycling Podcast for our first race recap of the season straight after the race. Happy to be back. And we're in the UAE for the UAE Tour Stage 1. It's a new stage that we haven't seen before. 141Ks from Madinat Zayed to Liwa. And I think this stage could have had more. I don't know. I did say on our weekly show, which comes out later this afternoon, that I am an expert in Middle East topography, perhaps not expert enough, because they're on a cycle track, basically. It's hilly. It's in the sand dune. They go south into like the sand dune area, up and down. But I don't know if that means it's protected from crosswinds or not, because it's a bit hilly. Because if there were crosswinds on this cycle track, it was narrow, this could have been a carnage stage, but that didn't really eventuate. But who we got here, Benji? Because this is probably the most stacked sprinters list we'll see all year.
A whole bunch of sprinters. Maybe the Tour de France can top it because Philipsen is not here. That's the one I was looking forward to seeing as well at this race, but he's not. DSM is here with Jakobsen. We've got Bora with Welsford, Visma with Coy, Soudal Quickstep with Merlier, Astana's here with Cavendish, Jacob with Groenewegen, Tudor with De Klein, the Tiger of Vorstenbos, Movistar with Gaviria, Alpecin with Groves, UAE Molano, Israel Ackermann, Bahrain with Bauhaus, Decathlon Sam Bennett, Ineos Viviani, and the Polar Bear is also there, Maresco for Korateg, because, spoilers, he did a bit better than I expected.
But well, I that's a long bear. List of sprinters. Oh, because I said, why do you put him in the list?
Yeah, but people haven't seen that yet, because that podcast isn't out yet.
No, I forgot what I even said myself.
But hey, that's a list of sprinters. The thing with these sprints in the UAE is that I'm actually always looking forward to these sprints, which is weird because the stage itself is mostly boring 90%, but if you show up for the last 5K, you get a wide road sprint against each other. Sometimes there's a crash that sucks a bit, but if there's like a pure sprint against each other, then you can really see which teams are the best lead outs going into the rest of the season. And I like seeing that vibe early on in the season. That's why I kind of like these stages. So, hey. Stage, parkour, you said it. It's got hills, but not hills. And why do you think that those hills weren't effective? Is that because it's the difference of wide straight roads, so the riders hit it with full force, with a faster speed, and you don't have like the narrow corner into the Molenberg kind of vibe?
Because it's the UA Tour and they can't be bothered.
Probably
because,
also true.
Because there's 20 different teams that want to sprint today. I think De Gent tried something and I don't know what he was trying and he got closed down. I think he was just messing about. So yeah, that's just, every team wants a sprint. The weather conditions weren't really playing ball. The GC teams like UAE just want a calm day and no crashes, no crosswinds with Yates. So yeah, there's not really a team that incentivized to do anything different except for EF. But yeah, Korotek had a good day taking the IS points and also later in the stage. There was a crash, though, with a Tudor rider, Benji, who looked like he'd already been banged up. Like, he already had bandages on. So I don't know what happened there. It was like nothing was really on.
I don't know how many people crashed in the stage before the sprint happened, because Mosca crashed, Stork crashed, then the Tudor rider, and then I saw Welsford, his left side, he has bandages on his arm and on his leg, and then I was like, is there a crash we missed before the broadcast or something during this race? Did that happen before the stage started? That's something I'm curious about, because I was like, I was maybe thinking about Welsford being a candidate for the sprint, so if that happened in this stage, that might not be an amazing sign, but hey, we didn't know going into the sprint, but you're right, quite a bit of riders crashed here and there, and I feel like it's always like the, I don't know what you call this effect, the concertina effect, where somebody slows down at the front of the peloton, and then at the end of the peloton, someone has to react, but because it all comes together, the whole peloton, it's more difficult to react, and eventually it leads to one rider crashing here and there without necessarily a major pileup in the early parts of the stage. So anyway, that aside, sprint is coming most likely, because I don't know how you're going to ride away from a 100 and X amount of people solo in this final. So I feel like a lot of teams were trying to be at the front. One team that wasn't at the front with 5K to go was Boro. They were on the second or third tier. And do you reckon that's planned in, that they don't want to be at the front yet? Or is that more of like, oh, there's no space on the road for 20 teams?
What they've done before, I remember in maybe the Dubai Harbour or Abu Dhabi stage, sprint stages, they come up really late. This is when they had Archibald, Mullen, and Van Poppel. They'd come up about 1,500 meters to go when there was wide enough. Sometimes it would work, sometimes it wouldn't work. But I remember they put Bennett in good position on a couple of stages maybe 2 years ago. But that's sort of been their MO. What actually happened here was they came up earlier than that with Gamper, I think it was, and they were looking in decent position. They came up, they were side by side with Visma Lisa bike, who don't have Affini and Van Aert here. They got the Van Dijk brothers, Tosh van der Sander and Lo van Bell, sort of the lead up for Coy. They were side by side. Quickstep and Alpecin, I literally can't distinguish between the two of them. So I'm not going to say where they were, somewhere in the top third, but not really taking over. Like, their kits today was evidence of how ridiculous it is, their kits. Like,
yeah,
you just can't tell the difference. So that's a joke. But it was a mess. All these riders are coming in fresh. Absolutely nothing on all stage. A million teams want to do something. I think Coy clearly wanted to get on Welsford's wheel. Bora have the strongest train so far this season from TDU. Merlier's and all these sprinters like abandoning their train. That's what it seems to be happening. Like, Merlier abandons his train with 500 or 600 meters to go. Bauhaus is freelancing. Gaviria is freelancing. Milano's on his own. There's actually a lot of riders freelancing. Even Jakobsen. Bennett was the one, Benji, who actually had more riders around him with about 700 meters to go.
Exactly. And the thing with Sam Bennett was that I actually thought that the Decathlon train looked very good in the last 600 meters. They had three rides. They were on the right side of the peloton, looking on the helicopter view, and they were in a position where they could potentially move up. And the first rider starts moving up with about, I think it was 600 meters to go, roughly, maybe a bit longer than that. And he keeps moving up, and he basically starts moving up to the front of the peloton, doing a lead out for the entire peloton. But the second lead out of Aj Désert, like, the man in front of Sam Bennett, never followed. So those guys just linked up with a different train in the peloton. And honestly, I think if that lead out man followed that rider ahead of him to the front of the peloton, I reckon that might have been quite perfect timing for Bennett. What do you reckon?
Yeah, the right side is what opened up, and that's where Merlier sort of, he got fortunate, but also he was the best here. And like, all those sprinters, they all go. If you look at the overhead before Gaviria launches, they all crowd to the left side, yep, where Bora went with Van Poppel, and there's a big fight there, and they all basically get boxed for a period of time. And as that happens on the left side, as the Aj Désert lead out sort of ends, and Van Poppel goes in front of Coy, Gaviria actually doesn't launch first. The crazy thing is, Milano launches first, and Gaviria has the opportunity to win here. Maybe he couldn't in the end, but he completely ruins his sprint by coming out of the wheel of Milano too fast. Milano jumps super early, tries to get the jump on everybody. Gaviria just immediately says, I'm going to look that gift horse in the mouth and jump ahead of you. And then Merlier basically jumps. He was on the open front side next to Welsford as they were all having that fight. But even so, like, the power difference is clear. When Merlier jumps, I know he's got the slipstream of the two Colombians, but he just straight up ruins everybody. And he's not starting from a position that dissimilar to Welsford, to be honest. And really, really impressive win from Merlier. He basically ditched his lead out, which went left, and did his own thing in the last 500. I think after Philipsen, he's the best sprinter in the world. Certainly in a straight line in 15 seconds, he's almost impossible to beat if you bring him fresh. And yeah, really, really impressive win, as well as Arvid Decline coming second, Maresco third. So two of the Pro Conti teams actually doing very well. Then Jakobsen, Welsford, Gaviria, Milano, Consoni, Bauhaus, Jana van der Paar, Pilota, Destiny, rounding out the top 10. Out of the top 10 is Bennett, Coy, and who else?
Well, half of the riders we initially mentioned.
Yeah, Groenewegen, Cavendish, Ackermann, Groves.
I do need to mention, someone at Movistar needs to pull out a graph and show it to, or a PowerPoint, and show it to Gaviria, in the sense of like, if there's a corner, you can, with like 400 meters to go, or like with like 250 meters to go, let's say 250 meters, you can start sprinting before the corner. That's okay. If it's a downhill run-in, or a downhill finish, you can start sprinting earlier. If it's a straight finish, and even slightly uphill, I would not consider launching early. So he definitely should have stayed in the Wheel of Milano longer.
Yeah.
Whether it's 50 meters, whether it's 100 meters, maybe 50 meters, that would have been 230 meters that he would have launched at roughly. I reckon that would have been a much better decision and he would have gone close to winning, because you're straight up going out of the draft and reducing the advantage you have in that sense. So that's something that Gaviria needs to do better, but we said it millions of times, so I don't think he's actually going to change. I think it's in his DNA at this point. When it comes to the decathlon train, I mentioned maybe they need to trust each other a bit more. That might bring them to the front at the right moment in this stage, I reckon. When it comes to an actual crash happening, we haven't mentioned the crash yet. After the sprint or during the sprint, in like position 15, I would guess roughly, there is a crash that happens. And it seems like whenever the peloton went from the left side of the road, from helicopter view, to the right side of the road, so like the sprinters in 15, 14, that position, move side to try and get in the draft of the other sprinters. And then we see Jarno van der Paar basically crossing the front wheel of Mullen, who had done his lead out at the front. Who do you think is to blame in this situation?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, Van der Paar, chops him. He comes across before he's cleared Mullen's front wheel, but Mullen also finishes his lead out and he's waving around as he tends to do. But in that, he'd stopped actually, and then he was coming back in a straight line. So yeah, he gets chopped at high speed, goes down super hard, and then there's the ricochet effect. There's not much really he could do. That's the danger of, I guess, being a lead-out man, is often you're coming back and riders, all these sprinters are surging across and trying to fight for the wheel ahead of them.
There's no solution, eh? Like, you can't solve this issue, I believe, the issue of lead-outs coming off the front and having to drop back in the middle of the road. Like,
Didn't this happen to Varenskjold in Tour de France Stage 4 last year? You know, X-Rider or Cofidis riders coming back on the barriers on the Moto Circuit one, and they just got chopped super hard.
Yeah, but I think that was a situation where Varenskjold was looking backwards, no?
True. He drifted. That's the thing. It's like, when you finish your lead out, you have to just come back in a straight line. And it's actually incredible how often experienced lead out riders finish their lead out and then start looking around. I know it's second nature. They're trying to see where their sprinter is to see, what's going to happen. But then they drift around. Crash. I think Fretten went down hard.
Fretten.
Yeah, Fretten. Fretten.
That's the most English way I've ever heard his name pronounced.
On Cofidis, as well as a number of other riders, Astana riders down, and we actually saw Tejada and Gazzoli coming across the line sharing a bike. Gazzoli pedaling whilst Tejada, I don't know if his bike was broken, probably, or his legs couldn't pedal, not sure. But that's kind of a typical UAE Tour stage, really. It's like, yep, easy all day. At least there wasn't a headwind, so they got it over pretty quickly. 5Ks to go. Chaos. Everyone's fresh. Million sprinters. Big crash at high speed. And a big boy wins the sprint. That's just, that's sort of what happens every time.
What are you expecting when it comes to the other sprints learning from this? Do you think that, has Bora made a mistake in this lead out? Because I felt like they were kind of more messy than I expected them to be. But I find it hard, like, pointing at a specific moment that they should have done something completely different. It's more like they weren't where I expected them to be.
I feel like Mullen came to the front and he was like, I'm here too early. And they were, and then he's like, we can't, and then they got washed over, and then after they got washed over, they could never reestablish their position again.
Yeah, at 2K to go, you're right. At 2K to go, there was like slight ram before they hit a bit downhill towards the finishing seven, and that's exactly where what you said happened. As in, there were four riders of Bora, they came to the front, they looked at each other on the left side of the road. The Tudor leader was also looking at Bora and was like, I'm not taking over. And I think that's when Bahrain and Israel took over the job for a bit. But you're right that they had a hard time reestablishing. And then at the end, they did come to the front on the opposite side of Gaviria and Molano. But it felt like they weren't at the front at the front. It felt like they were lacking behind a bit compared to the other side of the road.
Yeah.
And I don't know which side of the road was actually the most beneficial one today. I didn't check up on that before the stage started. But I don't know. Maybe that has an influence on that as well. But Welsford was also not in the wheel of Van Poppel anyway. He had lost the wheel there as well. So they've still got a bit of work to do, but these sprints are
chaotic. Oh,
they'll
get it right. That's the thing. If one thing I've learned from Merlier, and he does this all the time, Paris-Nice last year, UAE Oman, he wins the first stage. You're like, this guy's going to win every sprint. But the reality is his lead out's not that good. And he could easily just get boxed in like the other riders tomorrow or on Wednesday. So I don't think Merlier is going to run away with every sprint. And I think Bora will get it right. Although if Mullins crashed badly in DNFs, that's a real... Ooh. Well, we saw on the tour last year, without Mullen, Van Poppel's job becomes a million times harder against other good lead-out trains and sprinters because he wasn't bringing Bennett or whoever may have sent a good position every time. So Mullen being out is a big blow for them this week as the setup man. And so, yeah, I think it's going to keep being chaotic and I don't know. Who knows? It's a lottery. It's literally a lottery. Yep. Maybe Groenewegen and Fabio get it right. I don't know. It's a lottery at the moment. Tomorrow's a TT, Benji. We have Mikael Björk here, who won his first World Tour TT or first World Tour race last year in the TT in the Dauphiné, but it's a flat one. Who else we got here that's a good TT rider?
Tobias Foss.
Yeah, we'll see how Foss goes on the Ineos setup. That's very interesting. The former time trial world champion from Visma. Now on the Ineos setup, I'm very keen to see how that goes.
Who else?
Cavagna. Now on the Movistar setup, Van Wilder for GC, Max Poel for DSM, Bart Lemon. Who? Malaysia. Bart Lemon, Kel O'Brien. It's actually not that strong a TT field, I must say.
Yeah.
There's no Ganna. There's no Bissiger. There's no Kung, Van Aert, Remco like last year, Plap even. It's actually a very... It's fine, but it's a weak TT field compared to previous years.
I think so as well. And when I then look at the GC riders here, we said it in the preview that is yet to come out, but Adam Yates, who's the favorite for this whole stage race, he's probably also going to be one of the better riders when it comes to the time trial. So will McNulty. So will Jay Vine most likely as well. So
true, yeah.
Yoe should be able to establish himself well in GC, I reckon, after this time trial.
McNulty and Vine on a flat TT like this should do a very, very good time. I'd be surprised if those two weren't in the top five. Sorry, Feral Cat's just visiting me outside. So, yeah, this is Feral Cat that's taken a liking to me, but I don't want it to come near my the cuts on my hands in case I get an infection. But anyway, it's rocked up. I think UAE, they're going to be all three of those. They're going to have four riders in the top 10, I would say. Tomorrow, I'm also keen to see Army Rail on the decathlon setup. So there's a few things to be interested about. Peo Bilbao, Al Higo. But yeah, I think Yates will do a good TT, and I don't see any other GC riders apart from maybe Van Wilder being ahead of him that isn't on his team. McNulty and Vine, the exception to that, perhaps. Or Foss, if you... we'll see how he could go on defeat. Actually, maybe Foss, if he does a really good TT, if he does... Do you think he could top five this race on GC, Benji?
I think
it's impossible to know his climbing level.
He could do well on Jais. Jais is kind of climb for Foss. It depends on how good he's on Jebel Hafid, and I reckon he could definitely top 10 this race. I would say he's going to come sixth in GC.
Okay. Okay, who are we picking? Who are we picking for the TT?
I'm going to go with... Oh, God. I'm going to go with Foss.
It's a pretty good TT for him. I would have probably gone with him, but I'll go with Bjerg on UAE. I think it's a good opportunity for him, home race. And
yep, true.
He did a good TT in the Dauphiné. I think he needs more hills, but there's no Ganna or Pisacar here, as I said. So interesting TT tomorrow, if mostly for the to see Foss on a different team, on a different setup, as well as the GC positions. But yeah, it is a strange UAE tour, as we said in our preview. So I'd encourage you, go and check out our weekly show. We do a preview of the UAE tour, as well as a classics preview of Omloop and Kerna this weekend. So yeah, you can listen to that either this afternoon or early evening European time, UK time, or throughout the week at your convenience. But I hope you enjoyed the return of the daily recaps. Don't worry. I know I had some worried messages, people saying, where are they coming? It's like, we're just taking it easy, and then we're pacing ourselves. We know the drill now. This is our 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. This is our fifth season, Benji.
Jesus Christ, dude. We're getting old.
Yeah, well, I'm washed up. My skin's not growing back as fast as it used to. but yeah, I hope you enjoyed the recap, and we'll see you with a TT recap tomorrow. Till then, ciao.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.